So there you go. I've told some of you, maybe I've told the class as a whole, the amazing thing about that for me is that I never hear his speech until the first time he gives it at a competition. He never once asks me for anything.
Comments?
Doesn't pass it by me? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The first time I hear his speech is when the world hears his speech for the first time. So, and then there's very little interaction after that. So what you got today was not Dr. Graham, Professor Graham, Daddy Graham. That was Calvin Graham. And a very good team here at the church who are working with our kids. Jorge Gutierrez is the gentleman who's working with the Bible speakers, or excuse me, the speakers tournament. And then we have a number of other individuals who are working with the drillers. So my hope is to get some of them here next week so you can see the drillers, because they will also floor you with what they can do. Well, let's turn our attention to our text for this morning, which is John 14. We're moving into John 14. John 14. And you'll see that my title for this morning is Teachers, Teachers Everywhere. I'm not referring to this class, by the way, though I know that's the case here. I'm just curious. I never have actually asked this as we've met as a class, but how many teachers or former teachers do I have in this class? Yes, that's what I thought. I just want you to understand what it's like to get up every Sunday and to speak to a bunch of teachers, right? Which is not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just a thing, right? I want you to think in your mind just now of a particularly good teacher that you have had at some point in your past. I would hope that all of us have had at least one teacher that stands out for his or her goodness, right? Now, let's not go the other direction. We could probably do the other way, too. But for his or her goodness, perhaps even one that you would say changed your life. I think perhaps most of us have a teacher in our lives who has changed our life. I want you to just think, conjure up in your mind that teacher. And then I want you to ask yourself, what is it that made that teacher impact you in the way that teacher did? So you've got the teacher. Then the question is, what is it about that teacher that made that teacher impact you? Got it? So what is it? As you're thinking about that, shout out some things that made that teacher or those teachers impact you in the way that they did. Say that again.
Compassion.
On the part of the teacher for the student. The ability to meet the student, you as the student, where you are, and to relate to you. Okay? Compassion. So I hear that. Let me start with what I heard. Challenge. So a teacher isn't willing, loves you enough to not leave you where you are. Let's just call it for what it is, in your ignorance.
Yeah. Yeah.
That a teacher loves you enough to challenge you to move beyond and into areas that you were previously ignorant of, and to put something ahead of you, to challenge you. I heard something else here.
Confirms potential.
So not only challenges you, but gives you challenges and then watches to see how you are meeting those challenges and can continue to move and mature into new areas. And then by compassion confirms the potential that he or she is seeing. Okay?
Example.
So not simply pointing the way and telling what to do, but in fact, by example, by manifesting that, whether it's by knowledge or by leading by example, if it's something that they're teaching you to do. Okay, so someone who is, again, by example, living the, in this case, more specifically, the life that they're calling you to live, right? So you know, if it's a teacher, any teacher who can give knowledge, it's a teacher who knows what they're talking about, right? Leading by example. If it's teaching you how to do some task, it's doing it by example and showing you. It's not just saying, get on that bike. It's being willing to get on that bike and say, this is how you do it, perhaps. But in the case of spiritual or biblical leadership, teaching, it's actually living a life that is worthy of being modeled. Others?
Dedicated and prepared.
Let me start with dedicated and conviction. I heard it's conviction. Those two fit together, don't they? That there's something about teachers that are dedicated, that are convicted, that are in this not merely for whatever other gains they may have, but something deep within in them, because most teachers certainly aren't doing it for the money, or at least to become very rich, though some of them may be doing it for a paycheck, right? So there's conviction, dedication, and preparation. It's being prepared to meet the students and to teach. Others? Patience, as we work with our students. I heard something over here.
Tough.
Yes. Yeah, so this is the challenge and tough corner over here. This is the patience corner. This is the challenge and tough corner. I see how the room is dividing up. Yes. Right. Being willing to challenge. A bit of discipline. A bit of making sure that we go through the steps to do and to learn what needs to be learned and taught. Teachers everywhere. And as you know, because you have grown up in and around teachers, some of you being teachers, you know, I don't need to begin this lesson telling you the importance of teaching and teachers. But it may surprise you that I've chosen to call this morning's lesson in John chapters 14 to 16, Draw Attention to Teachers. By the way, just so we get a big picture of what's going on in these three chapters, if you have your Bible before you and you just glance at these pages and you happen to have a red letter edition, you see a lot of red letters here. These are the discourses that Jesus is giving to his disciples, preparing him for what is imminent now in his life. You'll remember that on Easter Sunday, several weeks ago, we were in John chapter 12, that turning point in the book of John, in which the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And this means a couple of things, but most immediately in the life of Jesus, it means his death is coming. And this is becoming clearer and clearer, crystal clear to his disciples. Last week we looked at that time that we often call the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, but it's also the washing of the disciples' feet in John chapter 13. And now we have Jesus giving these discourses, preparing his disciples for what is to come. The Bible that I have, the editors have put in as a title for the beginning of John chapter 14, John, Jesus comforts his disciples. And this is certainly part of what's going on. Even if you look at verse 1 of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. These are going to be words of comfort that we read throughout these next three chapters. But what is, and there's of course plenty of things that we could look at in these three chapters. We could spend an entire series just on John chapters 14 to 16. Vine and branches, where I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's plenty of things we could look at. I'm not suggesting by what I'm going to talk about this morning that what I'm going to say is comprehensive. It's simply amazing to me that one of the things that is promised and referred to in every one of these chapters is not simply the giving of the Spirit, the Paracletes, the Advocates, as he is called, but the Spirit who is the teacher, the teacher. An odd thought for some people to think that as Jesus now comforts his disciples and prepares them for his end, he continually refers to the issue of teaching, which I think, again, simply puts into focus for us the importance of teaching. It is not a task to be belittled. Let's look at them so that you know what I'm talking about and what I'm seeing. We're in John chapter 14. Let's look first at verses 16 through 18. John 14, 16 through 18. Then I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Let your eyes move down to verses 25, beginning at verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the helper, or perhaps you have the Paraclete, or perhaps you have the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Go to chapter 15, verse 26. Chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me, and you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Your eyes move down to chapter 16, beginning at verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you. He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. You see this theme. It comes up frequently in these three chapters. It is, of course, the giving of the Spirit, and speaking about the Spirit. But it is a Spirit, and the Spirit who is involved with this teaching, this witnessing, this leading into truth activity. For all that we can say of the Spirit, it's just this that's drawn attention to. By the way, this should not surprise us in the book of John. It may surprise us, but it ought not if we have been paying attention from the very beginning with regard to the idea of teaching. I didn't get here in time this morning to get my handheld, so I'll stay right here. But just imagine that I'm all the way back over there against that wall. In chapter 1, verses 38 and 39, John chapter 1, verses 38 and 39, verse 38, John the Baptist's disciples, two of them come to Jesus and they say to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, which John, the author, takes time to put a little parenthetical note to say, and this is translated teacher. Then in verse 49 of John chapter 1, Nathanael says and calls Jesus Rabbi. John chapter 2, we don't have a mention of teaching. Remember that John chapter 2 is the first of the signs at the marriage feast. But remember that John chapter 2 precipitates then several things, including toward the end of John chapter 2, Jesus goes to the temple in Jerusalem, says those words, tear this down, destroy this, and in 3 days I will build it up again, cause a lot of hubbub, which precipitates John chapter 3, which is, of course, his encounter with Nicodemus. And remember how Nicodemus approaches Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 2, We know that you are a good teacher who has come down to heaven, or that God has sent. So, therefore, Jesus, teacher, teach me. And you'll remember that in that dialogue with Nicodemus, Jesus turns the tables on Nicodemus. When Nicodemus says, how then can someone be born again? Or how can this be? And Jesus in verse 10 says, you are a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things. You don't know how these signs are fitting that I'm doing with what you ought to know with reality. That's verse 10. He comes back to it, by the way, in verse 21 of John chapter 3, in which Jesus in his teaching says that he who practices the truth comes to the light at the end of John chapter 3. John chapter 4, of course, we move into this encounter of the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. And you'll remember some of the words that Jesus has there with her in verses 23 and 24. That those who will worship God will worship in spirit and truth. Let me just take a moment here and make a comment that even though that language does not have anything to do with teaching directly, the issue of truth and teaching is tied together, of course. And when we get back to John chapter 14, we'll just want to talk about that a bit. But not only is teaching mentioned throughout the book of John up to this point, but the issue and the importance of truth is mentioned. And for this, we could have gone even further back, all the way into John chapter 1, back when John tells us that Jesus manifests grace and truth. By the way, you'll remember that in John chapter 4, when the woman takes Jesus, or Jesus goes to the area where she is, where she's from, the people call him Rabbi, which John has already made sure that we know means teacher. John chapter 5, it's interesting, Jesus is not referred to as a teacher, but at the end of John chapter 5, verses 32 and 33, John the Baptist is spoken of as having borne witness of the truth. John the Baptist, which just leads us to remember that there are more. Jesus is not the only teacher referred to in the book of John. Of course, we've already had Nicodemus referred to as, are you a teacher of Israel? But John the Baptist also is one who is bearing witness of the truth. We could move back into John chapter 3, verse 26, in which John the Baptist himself is called Rabbi. Or we could move forward to John chapter 10, in which case Jesus goes to the place where John the Baptist had been baptizing. And it says in John chapter 10, verse 41, that even though John did not do any signs, John the Baptist, nonetheless, many believed in Jesus on account of what he simply said, his teaching, his truth. In John chapter 6, verse 59, we have Jesus teaching in Capernaum. And then in John chapter 7, verses 14 to 18, we have Jesus teaching in the temple. By the way, in John chapter 7, verses 14 to 18, Jesus is not only doing the activity of teaching, he then gives a little teaching on his teaching, in which he says, my teaching is not mine, but it is the one who sent me. Now, this is a recurring theme in the book of John, but in John chapter 7, it's specifically referred to as teaching. The teaching is not mine. You'll remember then in John chapter 8, we have this episode in which a woman is brought to Jesus, who has been caught in the act of adultery. Perhaps you may or may not remember that what is he doing when that woman is brought to him? He's teaching on the Mount of Olives. And when they come to him again, they call him teacher. Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery. Later on, of course, in the interchange that happens in that episode, verses 13 to 18, Jesus again turns the tables on those who are questioning him. And he says, your witness is not true. And then even later on in chapter 8, verses 31 and following, Jesus reminds those who are hearing him that if you remain in my truth, if you remain in my word, and the truth shall make you free. Chapter 9, of course, is the episode with the man born blind. Not much teaching going on, except at the very end of John chapter 9. Remember this? There's this interaction primarily between this man who's born blind and those who are the opponents of Jesus. And at the very end, kind of the closing shot, like the thing in verse 34, the Pharisees are backed up against the wall. All they can think to say is this: "You were born in your sins and you are teaching us?" This accusation. Of course, the irony is, indeed, he is teaching them, because as we saw when we looked at John chapter 9, the one who was blind has been made to have sight and can do the teaching, whereas they who were to be the teachers don't know what they're doing or saying because they can't see. As far as I can tell, we don't have any reference to teaching in John chapter 10, but in John chapter 11, Mary addresses Jesus as teacher. The teacher is here. And then last week in John chapter 13, which is just before where we are now, and since we're here, if you're not following along, you're at least here at John chapter 14. You can look back up at John 13:13, in which Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am." So lest we think that Jesus somehow outgrows his being a teacher, lest we think that somehow the people we are to understand that we are to move from Jesus being teacher to something else, Jesus never gives up, even here at this point, the importance of his being a teacher. Okay. By the way, this fits in with what we saw. And now to direct our attention back to John chapter 14, John 14, verse 16. This fits with the words we have here, which I think I've drawn attention to, but let me do it one more time. Verse 16, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper." The Spirit is not the first teacher. He's not the first paraclete. He is another one. Jesus has been doing this in the flesh the whole time with his disciples and to the world. By the way, if you want another place to look, you can jot down 1 John 2:1, simply because in 1 John 2:1, the same John who gives us the Gospel of John refers to Jesus as the Paraclete, the Paraclete. That is the word there, by the way, in verse 16 that my Bible translates helper, Paraclete. I'm just curious, what are some of your translations there in verse 16? "I will give you another helper." Comforter. Yes, comforter is another common one. Counselor. Advocates. Yeah. The Greek word here is parakletos. It's paraclete. By the way, that's the Greek form. The Latin form is advocate. They both, if you break it down etymologically, you see where my son gets this. It does call for one who is called alongside. Para kaleos. By the way, in Romans, when Romans 12:1, when Paul says, "I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God," you know, that urging to come alongside is para kaleos, a calling alongside. Well, that's what the paraclete is, a calling alongside. By the way, that's what an advocate is. It's when you call alongside. Typically, of course, in some sort of legal setting or some sort of judicial setting, but not always. It's simply when you call alongside as your counselor, your helper. And that's what we have here in verse 16. Let me make one more comment about that word. I went through in church history at the college. I teach when I'm teaching the second century, I teach about an individual whose name is Montanus. He's a guy back in the early church, first, second centuries, who is making the claim that he is the paraclete, that he has shown up and he now is the one who is the mouthpiece of God, and that in him all of these sayings about the paraclete is being fulfilled. By the way, one of the eerie things when I'm teaching these things to my classes is they say, "Well, we still got people doing that." I'm like, "Yeah, isn't that amazing? Things just keep going round and round. There's nothing new under the sun." But the reason I bring this up is because I had taught this for, you know, several semesters, years at the college, always talking about Montanus claiming to be the paraclete, the paraclete. One semester, you know, and I teach it once, and then in reviews, I'll keep coming back to it for weeks afterwards until they take their exam. Just before the exam, I had a student raise their hand, right? I mean, I've been teaching this for weeks, over months, and I had a student raise his hand, and God bless him. You've got to love this honesty, right? He says, "Are you saying parakeet?" Which point I realized not everyone knew the word paraclete. So now I write it on the board. Yeah, we're not being offered here the divine parakeet. We're being divine the word paraclete. Yeah. By the way, some of you may have thought that that's what I was saying, too. So now things are cleared up for you, too. OK. So what of this Jesus being and now the Holy Spirit being the divine paraclete, helper, teacher, advocate? I just want to draw out five things here that is important for us to think about when we think about this, the teaching that is central for the ministry of Jesus and now for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. First, I'm going to mention four things. First, the teachers deal with the truth. Teachers deal with the truth. Again, we made comments about this all the way back with reference to Jesus. Jesus himself is full of grace and truth, but he is also teaching the truth. This is a constant refrain in the book of John. But here in John chapter 14, let your eyes go to verse 5 and 6 of John chapter 14. Thomas said to him, Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus not only teaches truth, but he is the truth. He is full of grace and truth. By the way, again, drawing attention back to those places that we've just looked at in these three chapters with regard to the Spirit, in every case, John chapter 14, verse 17, John chapter 15, verse 26, John chapter 16, verse 13, in each of those occurrences, it is the Spirit of truth that is to come. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit is engaged with and deals with in his activity, empowering, advocating, comforting. It is always with reference to the truth. Now, not to play the part of the bad guy in the Gospels, but what is truth? Yeah, that is the question. What is truth? And of course, you all don't need to be told that this is not just a question in the Bible. This is a question that's very much alive today in many discussions. But let me just cut through it and say what I think the Bible means by truth. And by the way, for millennia of investigations have meant by truth. It is the correspondence between a statement, an assertion, a sign, and the reality that it's pointing to. The correspondence between some statement, word, sign, teaching, and the reality that it's pointing to. Truth is this relationship from here to here. See, if I say the sky is green, that's my statement, and the reality does not fit my statement. So you see, the correspondence isn't right. Then I say, that's not true. Right? But if I say the sky is blue or the sky is clear, and indeed that's what the reality is, that correspondence is true, right? It fits. My statement fits the reality. That is truth. And that is the classic understanding of truth, despite the questions about what is truth, which just helps us understand what's going on here in the gospel. I only bring that up to help us understand this teaching ministry of John, Jesus, teaching in general. Part of what teachers do is help us to understand this correspondence. That's part of what teachers do. It doesn't sound too attractive or fun, but that's part of what the activity is. when you see this letter A, you make this sound, ah. See? Symbol, reality. That's part of what teachers do. And that is what Jesus has been doing. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus? That was his question. Teacher, how are we to understand these signs and the reality to which they're corresponding? Help us to understand that correspondence. That's what teachers do. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's helping place the assertions, the statements, with the reality to which they point. That is truth. That is part of what teachers do. And we thank God for that. By the way, as was mentioned earlier in our discussion, they do that even when the truth hurts. Even when we have to face unpleasant truths. Let your eyes move down to chapter 16, verse 8. Jesus has promised just prior to verse 8, once again, the coming of the Spirit. But look at what he says the Spirit will do in verse 8. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Part of what the Spirit does is to tell the truth, to bear witness, even in areas that are unpleasant, even when it means calling the world out, bringing to the world's attention the reality of sin and righteousness and judgments. Number one, teachers deal with the truth, and Jesus and then the Spirit promised here deals with the truth. Second, teachers disclose, elucidate, shed light on new areas of reality. Use whatever verb you want there. But teachers disclose, elucidate, shed light on new areas of reality. Yes, teachers help us understand the correspondence between assertions, signs, and reality. That's a fundamental thing teachers do. But teachers also, at times, take us into areas that we didn't even know existed. Right? Take us into whole new areas of reality that we didn't even know existed. And yes, those are the times that teachers kind of give them those the aha moments, right? And it makes the teacher feel good and the student feel good. But it's, built, of course, built on the other fundamentals. But teachers lead us into disclose, elucidate reality. The same, by the way, is true as of Jesus as a teacher. Again, back to chapter 14. We're just going to stay now in these three chapters. John chapter 14. This is something that we've been reading about throughout the book of John, but here it is in chapter 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus has been shedding light on, bringing people into a new reality, if you will, with regards to the Father. And this has been going on throughout the book of John. But here it's said so explicitly. By the way, the Spirit will do the same thing. The Spirit is going to disclose or elucidate or bring people into a reality. So look at verse 26 of John chapter 14. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Let your flip over to chapter 15, verse 26. "When the Holy Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father," that is the Spirit, "he will bear witness of me." John chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All the things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Part of the teaching ministry of the Spirit is to bring people into and to give them and to disclose to them this area of reality. Today, the risen Lord is seated at the right hand of the Father, and it is by the work of the Spirit that we are brought into a remembrance of what Jesus said in the past and did in the past. And we have connection with the Spirit, with the risen Son today. So first, teachers deal with the truth. Second, teachers disclose, elucidate, shed light on reality. Number three, we've already been seeing it, but let me draw attention to it. Jesus is sent by the Father and is taught by the Father. So too, the Spirit is sent by the Son and the Father. We're in chapter 16. Just let your eyes go. We'll move backwards this time. Again, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. What we have going on in John chapters 14 to 16 is a recurrence of this theme of the intimacy between the Father and the Son and now the Spirit. You know, remember, again, we could go back to passages throughout the book of John in which Jesus says, I do nothing. My teaching is not from me. I do only what the Father has said and taught me. And so it is now with the Spirit, that the Spirit is going to be the one who speaks only that which he is given by the Son and by the Father. Chapter 15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. The Spirit is doing that, only that which is he is sent to do by the Father and by the Son. So first, teachers deal with truth. Second, teachers disclose, elucidate reality. Three, just as Jesus is sent by the Father and is taught by the Father, so the Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son. Number four, we are teachers whose witness has power. We are teachers whose witness has power. Back to John chapter 14. These are rather remarkable words in John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Moving down to John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from me, the Father, he will bear witness of me, and you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. We are teachers whose witness has power, because we are taught by the Spirit, and do this in conjunction with the Spirit. Remember, back when we were trotting through the book of John, we saw John the Baptist as an example of this. He is a teacher. He is the one who is helping people connect Jesus with what they are reading and they're expecting. And then in John chapter 10, when Jesus goes to that place where John had been baptizing, many were believing in Jesus because of what John the Baptist had said and borne witness to. And this, of course, then is what we read here. We now become the witness by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit works in us to bear witness. If we were to go in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, we would see just this when used in reference to the Spirit. Jesus says to his disciples, do not worry when you go into or called before leaders or rulers. Do not worry what you will say. It will not be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit speaking through you. So they are, and we are then, teachers whose witness has power. Whose witness has power. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks today, just as your Son promised us and we've read about here in these chapters. that you have not left us to wonder about you, but that you have disclosed yourself in this through your Son. Teach us what it means this week, Father, by your Spirit. Teach us what it means to contemplate, to dwell on your Son, and in so doing have knowledge of you, our Heavenly Father. Father, we give you thanks that we have not been left as orphans, but that our Lord is going to return, and that at just this point in time we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is active and alive, teaching us truth, leading us into the reality of who you are and who our Lord is. May we take comfort in that, Father, this week, as we teach others in Christ by the Spirit. Amen.
Dr. Chris.